Hey, so this morning we are wrapping up our series on hard conversations, on how do we have these conversations that can be divisive, can be argumentative. We live in this culture that, like we were talking about over the last few weeks, that it's almost like it's not about having an understanding or productive discourse, it's about just dropping the mic, right? And it's kind of funny because last Wednesday night, you know, we've been doing these difficult conversations, uncomfortable conversations on Wednesday nights, and they've been a ton of fun. And I won't say who, but someone finished their statement by doing this a couple times. So it was a lot of fun. But those are on Wednesday nights, by the way, at 6:30. If you're interested, they are a lot of fun. And we have been just talking about all sorts of crazy stuff, somehow or another, and it wasn't even written down. It needs to be written down. Somebody was talking about, like, flat earth stuff last Wednesday night, and it was just crazy. So I won't say who. But real quick, before we get started, let's put our mission statement up there. Say it together. This is why we exist as a church. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. Yeah, that's what we're all about. Loving Jesus, loving each other, growing in Christ, and going by serving each other, serving our community. And so this morning, like I said, we're concluding our five-part series where we talk about how we can reflect Jesus in the difficult, often divisive conversations of our day, how we can disagree about the big issues of life and still love each other and still walk in unity. I mean, that's tough sometimes, right? Because we get really emotionally invested in our side of the argument, right? And we can find it difficult to love through these conversations. And so we started talking about how God has all truth, but we don't have perfect understanding of it. So no matter how much understanding you think you have on an issue, you still don't have perfect understanding of that issue. And then we talked about how being loving is as important as being right, and that we need to love others. And then Wendy talked about how the Holy Spirit can create unity where it just once seemed impossible. Holy Spirit can do that. And so last week we talked about finding our identity in Christ. We find our identity in what He says about us, and not about necessarily about our belief systems, not necessarily about our political affiliations, not necessarily about where we stand on certain issues. That's not where we find our identity. That if we find our identity in those things, we're going to constantly be offended, right? But instead, we find our identity in Christ and what He says about us and what His Word says about us. And so I believe that every believer has a desire in their heart for things to be as they should be, right? And I think that many people, that's their desire in their heart, that things should be as they should be. And so as Christians, we long to see things like justice. Like, we want to see justice, we long to see Jesus to be revealed to our world, we long for everything to be made right according to Scripture, for arguing and divisions to cease, for the church to truly worship God as He deserves. As believers, we long for the day when the church is as Christ intended the church to be, right? And so Christ intended the church to be His agent for changing the world, to be His agent of love and healing, right? And so that's what we long to see. John chapter 4, it says this, verse 23. It says, "But the time is coming." All right, it's so important. There's like a few key words. So a lot of times we'll read this scripture and we miss some of the key words. We think some words are key, but we're missing the actual key words. And I'm going to give you a hint of what they are. It says, "But the time is coming." So everybody say coming. That's one of the key words in that passage. Okay? And then he says, "Indeed, it's here now." So everybody say, "It's here now." It's here now. Whoa, okay? So Christ just laid a bomb there because He's saying two things that might mean two different things. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. He said, "The time is coming," means it's not here yet. "And it's here now," which means it's here. Okay? He says, "When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. All right? So, in other words, when is everything going to be made right? When is everything going to be made right? When will the divisions and the fighting cease? When will the church fully be as God intended? The answer is, in the future when Christ returns, and now through the ministry of Jesus enacted through us, enacted through His followers, okay? So in other words, we're talking about now and not yet. That's the crazy thing about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now through us and not yet, because it'll be complete when Christ comes back. And so sometimes, and maybe you feel this way too, sometimes I just get really discouraged. I look around. There are some days, you know, I can't open up my Facebook app and like scroll two thumbs worth without going, this sucks. All right? Anybody else feel that way? Psh, psh, oh, gosh. I've only swiped up twice and I already feel depressed. You know, and I sometimes just get really discouraged, and or you know, I'll watch a movie, I'll watch TV, and it's like the media portrays ministers as like swindlers and child abusers, you know, and like I've been a pastor for over 20 years, and I'm like, wait a minute, do people think I'm a swindler and a child abuser? You know, I mean, the media, I've never seen a positive portrayal of a pastor on television. Except for the pastor on Everybody Loves Raymond. I love that guy, right? He's a great guy. I always got, like, wisdom. Anyway, but, like, you know, it's just so hard to find a positive portrayal of even Christians, right? Christians are portrayed in the media as like, buffoons, as unintelligent, as hate-filled. It's like you know, they say all Christians are like, what's that church that's always protesting? Westboro, yeah. It's like, oh, all Christians are like these Westboro haters, you know, and they're out there and they're protesting stuff and they're just angry and just, you know, awful. And so I just wonder, it's like, wow, that's the portrayal of Christians who, you know, and so, and then even ideas in our culture of morality, you know, like ideas of right and wrong and moral and things like that are considered just outdated. Oh, that's just weird, man. That's just outdated, you know. And you're out of touch if you really believe that right is right and wrong is wrong, and that Scripture sets forth a pattern or a standard for us to live by, right? And so I see divisions between people who hold different beliefs, you know, that have split families apart, you know, divisions that just lead to just venomous, you know, hatred, and even sometimes violence because people just disagree on something. You know, have you ever been in like a family gathering? It's always at family gatherings. Family gatherings drive me nuts. You know, it's always like at it's Christmas time or whatever. And it's like two people can't have a talk about whether or not union and non-union labor. You know, like I grew up in a family that was like big time pro-union. And as soon as like somebody brought up the idea of non-union labor, I mean, it was like call the cops, fisticuffs, you know, not that bad, but there was usually shouting and things like that. And so it's like you can't have, you know, differing ideas without it turning into a giant division. And so it seems like injustices of the world are just getting worse. You know, human trafficking is at an all-time high. We have more slavery today than we ever have in the entire history of the world. You know, and child abuse is rampant. The gospel seems to be spreading at like a glacial pace. And sometimes I think, and maybe you think this too, I just think, man, Jesus, just come back. Right? Jesus, why don't you just come back, man? And it just seems like things aren't going to change. And it's just such a hopeless way to think about the world. It's such a, you know, cynical way to think about the world and think about things. You know, we kind of just shake our heads and go, oh, man, what have we come to? But real spiritual maturity holds on to both parts of what Jesus says in John chapter 4, right? Real spiritual maturity is the time is coming when everything's going to be made right. The time is coming. There will come a day when Jesus comes back and he makes everything right. The divisions are gone. The human trafficking is over. Justice happens, and it just, he comes and makes all things right. And things are being made right now. And why are they being made right now? They're being made right now because you and I, because we're working to expand the kingdom on his behalf. So you all see this, that there's a both and. There's a now. We are Christ's agents in this age to make things right, to love and to bring forgiveness and to bring healing and to bring justice and all those things, right? Now it's happening. Christ is doing it through us, and there's going to come a day when Jesus comes back and I can't wait, right? And we'll all sigh a big sigh of relief, and we'll probably tear up a little bit, and we'll look at Jesus and we'll go, oh, Jesus, what took you so long? You know, thank you. You have made everything right. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait. But in the meantime, we have to find a way to live in that tension between the now and the not yet. In the meantime, we have to learn to be kingdom citizens. And how do we keep our hopes up in the midst of all the things that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks? How do we keep our hopes up through that? You know, we're going to talk about that. And I think it's super important. We kind of saved the most important till last. But let's pray. God, we love you so much. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you that Jesus is coming to make all things right. Jesus is coming, and there will be no such thing as disabilities. There will be no sickness. There will be no dying. There will be no more sorrow. Jesus is coming to make everything right. And all the things that upset us so bad today, all the things that, you know, the injustices of the world, poverty and abuse and addiction, and all those things that just seem to bring divisions and strife in our world, they're all going to go away. You're going to make all things right. And we can't wait for that. But Lord, in the meantime, teach us how to live. Teach us how to live. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would illuminate your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at one of the most encouraging passages in Scripture. It's in the book of Revelation. A lot of people hear the book of Revelation, they're like, whoa, Revelation, that's crazy stuff, man. You know, that's a bunch of weird stuff. A lot of people look at Revelation and they're not quite sure what to think about it, but one of the most encouraging passages in Scripture come out of Revelation, and it paints a picture of this not yet that I'm talking about. It paints a picture of the not yet breaking into the now, once and for always, once and forever, okay? And Revelation 21, 3 through 5 says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. I love that. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. Isn't that awesome? And he goes, write this down. What I tell you is trustworthy and true. Man, I can't wait for that day. I cannot wait for that day. So if you remember one thing this morning about uncomfortable conversations, the hard conversations, the things that we deal with in life, the strife, the conversations. If you remember one thing, remember this. We choose to accept that we live in the already and the not yet. Okay? We choose to accept. We have to accept that we live in the now. We live in the already, what's happening right now, and we live in the not yet. And so that's why what we like to say here is if it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us. Right? If it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us. I remember one of the first things, the first times I ever walked into a Vineyard church. I grew up in a different denomination, a different type of church, and there were certain focuses. And I think a lot of churches, you know, they have a certain focus. And there were certain focuses on maybe the move of the Holy Spirit, or there were focuses on certain behaviors, or they were focused on missions or whatever. But I remember the first time I ever walked into a Vineyard church, they were talking about the Holy Spirit that morning. But also, I noticed something that I had never, ever, ever seen in a church before. They had these big old recycle bins right by the door. And they said, hey, recycle your glasses. And we're going to give those to people without glasses. And recycle your cell phones. And recycle this. And I know that it sounds funny that I would notice that, but I'd never seen that before in a church. And then I noticed that they also had a homeless mission. And I'd never been to a part of a church before that had really any sort of emphasis on homeless, right? And I talked to the pastor. His name is Pat, and he's going to be speaking here in a couple weeks. But I said, Pat, I noticed I've never seen these things in churches before. And he just looked at me and he said, well, I think if it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us. If it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us. And as we become people who say, well, what is important to Jesus, right? Well, he's the creator, so creation care should be important to Jesus. He's a God of justice. He says in His Word many times to free the oppressed, right? Then justice should be important to us. He says to care for the poor. Well, if Jesus says to care for the poor, then that should be important to us too, right? And so when we choose to live in the not yet, not the not coming, you know, not here yet, and we accept that, then the things that are important to Jesus become important to us. And that's why we do our camp, right? Because orphans are important to Jesus. Orphans are mentioned in Scripture many times. And so if orphans are important to Jesus, we call them foster children these days, but they used to call them orphans, then they should be important to us, okay? And so acceptance of that is really, really important. And we have to believe that change can happen through us. We've got to believe that change can happen through us, and that we are not, let me just say it again, we are not fighting a losing battle, right? It feels that way sometimes. We're fighting a losing battle. We are not fighting a losing battle, okay? We've been doing Royal Family Kids for 5 years now. We're going on our fifth camp or sixth? We're going on our fifth camp, all right? And sometimes we hear the campers talk about their situations and we get mad. And that's just totally normal and natural. You know, when you hear a camper talking about how they were abused by their parents, or when you hear a camper talk about how even their foster parents have not been kind to them, or you hear a camper talk about, you know, their grandparents neglecting them, and we get mad. We get so mad, right? It feels so unjust, because when your kid is 8 years old and he has absolutely nothing, right? And he's seen things that no one should see, you know? We get angry and we feel helpless to do anything. And they come back year after year, and a lot of them are still in bad situations. We have one camper comes back year, every year he comes back and he's wearing shoes where just the soles literally are hanging by a thread. And so we'll run out and buy him shoes, right? You know, his situation hasn't changed year after year. He's still, you know, still living with people that aren't caring for him like he should be cared for. And we get angry that they're still in bad situations. And we wonder if a 5-day summer camp is going to make a difference in their lives. In 5 days, you know. But we choose. We make the choice to believe that it is, right? And sometimes we even see glimmers of hope. We have some campers that have been with us 5 years, and they're going to be 5 years, you know, have been with us 4 years, and they literally have four swim bracelets, little plastic swim bracelets that we gave them for passing the swim test, and they've just saved them and kept them because they were that meaningful to them, right? Or they've held on to their memory books, and they have all their memory books from 4 years. And so we choose to believe that the effort that we're making in their lives is making a difference. It's making a difference. We have to make that choice to believe that. We have to choose to believe that our part in the grand scheme of the world is making a difference. That God uses us in the now. God uses us here and now, and He will one day finish the job that Jesus started and we picked up on. Right? Because Jesus started that job. Jesus started the job of making everything right when He came to the earth. Right? He did the healings and miracles, and He taught us how to live. And so He started the job then. And then we came along and we picked up the job that He started. And then one day God's going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to finish the job. We've got to believe that we live in the already and the not yet. And the next thing is, how do we live that out? Okay? How do we live out the acceptance that we live in the now and not yet? The first thing is always choose hope. Always choose hope. And we got to be hopeful people. Man, if you're not feeling hopeful this morning, ask God to help you feel hopeful. It's so easy. It's so easy to get cynical, right? And what is cynicism? Cynicism is basically the belief that things aren't going to get any better. And sometimes we do that with people that we know. You know, if you've ever watched somebody go down just a really bad path, you know, maybe you watch somebody fall into alcoholism, or maybe you've watched somebody neglecting their marriage, and you see things, you know, kind of falling apart there. And sometimes we see people going down the wrong path, and we start to get cynical, and we're like, oh, that things are never going to change. Maybe when they hit rock bottom, we say things like that, right? And I've done that too. Cynicism only makes things worse. A bad situation has never been made better through cynicism. Ever, right? Cynicism never makes things better. That's why if you work at a job and you feel like the conditions aren't very good and you feel like the manager's unfair and you're a jerk or they're a jerk and whatever, standing around the water cooler and cynically complaining about your job has never made your job better. It has never changed the culture of your job. We have to be people that choose to hope. Kingdom people are just endlessly hopeful. Kingdom people are, that's why when you have somebody who loves Jesus and who's been pursuing Jesus with all their life, they can be on their deathbed with cancer and they're thinking on the bright side. Right? Hey, Jesus is either going to heal me or take me home. Either way, I win. Right? You know, I mean, that's why kingdom people are just endlessly hopeful. Scripture is filled with impossible situations where God faithfully came through and won the day. Be hopeful, persevere, work for the kingdom, never give up. Always choose hope, okay? It's part of living in the now and the not yet. And then the next thing is this. Ask God to help you see the struggle in a new way. Ask God to help you see the struggle in a new way. We tend to think that with struggles, that the issues of life, the big issues of life, only can be seen in one of two ways. That's what we tend to look at things and we go, well, it's either good or it's bad, or it's right or it's wrong. It's either left or it's right. It's either conservative or it's liberal. It's either, you know, whatever. And we tend to look at things as if there are only two sides to every issue, right? And then it doesn't help. Remember our first week when we shared those memes that were totally polarizing and offensive, you know, that run all over Facebook. And we think there's only two sides. It's either tuna or a lion. There's nothing in between, right? And so usually we just see things that way, for or against, good or bad. But when Jesus was presented with issues like this that were divisive, all right, for example, Roman taxation, right? It's either good or bad, right or wrong. Jesus, what side of the coin do you stand on, all right? He brought about an entirely new perspective to it, okay? So sometimes there are just sides of things that have multiple facets to them, and we have to give up the idea that it can only be viewed one of two ways, all right? We're part of the both-and tribe. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. It says, and we read the scripture the first week, now we see things what? Imperfectly. We see things imperfectly. So on the big divisive, you know, gun control, right? That's a big hot button thing right now, you know, gun control. It's either right or wrong. We need to either get rid of them or we need to, hold on to the rights that we have, right? We see the issues today on gun control imperfectly. We see the issues today on politics imperfectly. We see the issues today that divide us, you know, imperfectly. Okay? And it says, like puzzling reflections in the mirror. But then, when is then? When Jesus returns, then we will see everything with perfect clarity. One day we're going to see everything with perfect clarity. One day we're going to look back at the time that we lived in and we're going to see it all in perfect clarity, but that's not today. We see things imperfectly. We have to understand that, okay? It's like puzzling reflections in the mirror. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. Isn't that crazy? I think, you know, one of the interesting things right here, and it just dawned on me as I was reading this, that Paul says this. This verse ends with, God knows me completely. How many here think that you know yourself completely? I don't even know myself. You know what? I've been living with myself for 47 years. I don't even get me half the time, right? How in the world, if I don't even understand me, how am I supposed to understand the complex issues of the day that involve thousands, millions of people, okay? How am I supposed to understand those issues if I don't even understand me? Right? And so we think that we've got this solid grasp on the big issues of the day, and we don't even understand ourselves. So Paul says that. He says, then we're going to know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. All right? And so maybe then I'll understand myself. Maybe then. Okay? There's so much that we don't see or understand in our world around us. Ask God to help you see things from a different perspective. Ask God to help you see things from a different perspective. I think if we're able to gain God's perspective, or at least if we're able to admit and understand that we don't understand things perfectly, it'd be a lot easier to love other people, right? it'd be a lot easier just to have hope. It'll be a lot easier not to get so riled up. It'll be, you know, a lot easier not to, you know, last week we talked about our emotional response to these issues. It'd just be a lot easier, okay? And the last thing is this. Believe in the actual power of prayer. Believe in the power of prayer. How many times do we get upset first and then pray later? How many times do we have a gut response first, or we get angry, or you know, we begin to formulate our stance, or we choose a side, and then pray later? Okay? Pray first. Pray first. Believe in the actual power of prayer. Prayer is not a last-ditch effort when you don't know what to do. And prayer is not an effort to get God to change someone else's mind. Right? We disagree with them. God, just help them understand that they're jerks. God, help them understand what buttheads they are, you know? Like God's just out there, you know, taking our side, right? Oh, yeah, I'll go get them. You're right. You're totally right, you know? Like God's our buddy. God's our buddy who takes our side on everything, you know? And it's so funny because we even argue about things like, you know, within churches, we argue about the law and grace, and we argue about Calvinism and Arminianism, and we argue about pre-trib or post-trib rapture. We argue about these things, and it's like, we don't even have full understanding. God probably has another ethic. Like God is small enough to just break into two sides of something. Like God is just, you know. Okay. We don't even understand ourselves. How can we understand God and God's side on those things? And so, prayer, okay, so we need to pray. Jesus knew 2,000 years ago how hard life was going to be for us. He did. Jesus knew 2,000 years ago the issues that would divide us today. Jesus knew the things that would crop up in our culture. He knew it, okay? And he knew that there would be divisions. He knew that there would be wars. He knew that there would be pain. And that's why he prayed for us, right? Remember, he prayed for us to have unity, right? Jesus prayed for us that we would be one. He prayed for us to have unity and to inspire hope in each other and to serve and to love each other, okay? Prayer makes a huge difference. So pray. Pray to see the kingdom of God break through. Pray to see the kingdom of God break through in your family. Pray to see the kingdom of God break through in your workplaces. Pray to see the kingdom of God break through in your neighborhood. Do you live in an apartment with a loud neighbor? Pray the kingdom of God breaks through into your neighbor's apartment. Pray, 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 pray. I remember there was a time when I remember that my brother, oh gosh, and sometimes I talk about my brother. I hope he doesn't ever listen to this. But I remember that, you know, sometimes he would come home high and he would cause some trouble. And I remember he was going through a particular phase in his life where he was doing a lot of drugs. And it wasn't the type of situation where I could kind of sit and talk with him. And I thought, I don't know what to do. And God's like, well, why don't you pray? And so I remember just spending a day just praying and fasting for him. And the next day I got home from school and he was sitting in his bedroom and he was just weeping. And I was like, I said, oh, what's going on? And he says, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like God is trying to say something to me. And he was just very repentant, and I was watching God just sort of move in his life. And I really believe that was the prayers of my mother, and that was my prayers. You know, prayers make a difference. We have to believe that, okay? Pray, 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 pray. And so you know what I want to do this morning? I want to close this morning just by praying, just for a minute. But I believe that there are people here this morning that maybe have allowed some cynicism to kind of creep into their thoughts and some cynicism to creep into their hearts, you know. And what I mean by that is, you know, maybe you're kind of feeling a sense of hopelessness, you know. This sense that things will not get better. This sense that, you know, maybe you got a family member or you got somebody in your life and it just seems like they're just not changing. And you're kind of giving up on them in your thoughts and giving up on them in your prayers. And there's some cynicism or some hopelessness there. Or maybe you're here this morning and the issues of our day and our culture, you know, maybe you look at the news and you just think, it's just never going to change. You know, I mean, I could stand for that. I mean, I need prayer for that, you know. Maybe you just think, man, we're just going to hell in a handbasket. Or maybe just, you know, this neighborhood's going to never get any better. It's never going to change. You know, our political climate's just I just don't have any hope for it. You know, and you're just kind of feeling that sense of cynicism or hopelessness. I want to pray for you, and I would love if you just stand with me, because I'm standing up for prayer this morning. I love it if you just stand with me and let me pray for you. Can we do that? You feel comfortable with that? If that's you, would you just stand with me and let me pray for you and let the church pray for you? Okay, we just want to pray that God, and see, He wants us to be people of hope. He wants us to be people of hope. He wants us to be people of endless hopelessness, right? Kingdom people are endlessly hopeful. Endlessly hopeful. And I want to be that way. And if that's you, you want to be that way too. Just stand with me and let's pray. I believe the Holy Spirit's here. I believe that God is here. And He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you with hope. He wants to fill you with hope. It's, you know what? Cynicism, it's almost like, it feels like almost like the disease of our day, you know? And I believe that God wants to fill you with so, so much hope. Hope on your job, hope for your family that you've just drives you nuts and you don't feel any hope for. Hope for your, you know, our culture, for our world. I mean, there's so much out there. There's so much that surrounds us that can bring discouragement, and God wants us to walk in hope. Pray for you guys. Let's just spend a minute in prayer. If there's somebody standing nearby you, feel free to just kind of put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them. But let's just pray for a minute. We pray right now, Holy Spirit, that You'd come. Come with Your hope. Come with your understanding, with Your illumination. Holy Spirit, come in a way that allows us to see Your work through us and Your work in us and Your work in the world. Give us a glimpse, Holy Spirit, of what You are doing. Father, we pray for a spirit of hope for every person standing in this room, God. We pray for a spirit of hope. The greatest of these, right, are faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. God, that hope in that scripture is almost literally translated rope, God, that You are the rope for us to hold on to. We would not let go of hope. We would not let go of hope. God, I pray against cynicism. I pray against spirits that would have people despairing in their relationships, despairing in our world, despairing in our culture. God, I pray against despair, and I pray, God, for greater hope, 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 hope. God, we hold out our hands today. We say, fill us with hope. God, not some sort of weird, you know, optimism, but God, real genuine hope. Real genuine hope. You are our hope, God, and we hold on to You. Lord, help us to see things from Your perspective. Help us to get Your perspective on the things that cause us to feel discouraged. Help us to see the world through Your eyes, to hear through Your ears. God, hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys, why don't everybody stand up. Wendy's gonna lead us in a song as we end. Listen, if you're here this morning and you need prayer for anything at all, I'm going to be back there, and Bethany's going to be back there, huh? And Kathy's going to be back there, and we're going to be back there, and we want to pray for you for anything that you need prayer for at all. So feel free to come back there, right back behind the sound board, and we would be happy to pray for you for anything. All right, sound good? Yeah? All right. God bless.